May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, on this first Sunday of Lent, I would like to spend a little time with you looking at Psalm 25. So you might want to get that out in your leaflet. But first, just a little framework for understanding what Psalms are. Psalms, of course, are a particular type of biblical writing, best described as hymns or prayers. They use poetic imagery and form. In fact, Psalm 25 is an acrostic. It uses consecutively the letters of the Hebrew alphabet to start the verses. Psalms are words spoken to God by God's people. And that is worth thinking about. They are not, for the most part, a record of God's specific instruction to God's people. Like when we read in our gospel this morning, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." That's a straightforward word from the Lord to us about the unique identity of Jesus and his beloved place in his Father's heart. Or another example from Deuteronomy, when God is explaining about how important that difficult time wandering around in the wilderness was for shaping his people. "And you shall remember the way your Lord your God has led you in these 40 years, well, that's a long time, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Okay, once again, pretty clearly, we read this as God speaking to his people and showing them that humility is terribly important in our dealings with God. And apparently, it can take a while for that to come about in us. And furthermore, however important our daily needs, and they are very important, true everlasting sustenance comes from God's word. Jesus will, in fact, quote this from Scripture when he is in the wilderness doing battle with Satan. We got the express version of that 40 days in the wilderness with Mark, but Matthew tells us he quotes this very Scripture when he's doing battle with Satan. So, most of the Bible is God's, the story of God's doings with his people and sometimes God's direct instruction, but Psalms record people's words poured out to God, our words spoken or sung to God. "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have walked with integrity," or "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God," or "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These are words lifted up to God from our human condition. The Bible records them and therefore honors them as precious part of the Word of God, and they are. But we need to read them as words spoken to God, which means sometimes the way we apply them must be done with extra care. For instance, some psalms, called imprecatory psalms, cry out asking that God would bring vengeance on the enemies of Israel. And I am going to keep this sermon rated PG, so I won't say what they wanted God to do, but it was horrible. That is God's people speaking out of catastrophic loss. It is recorded as part of the true and understandable rage that God's people feel. But as Christians, we hear God's reply, spoken in the words of Jesus. "I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Jesus gives us the ultimate rubric for interpretation of the Bible and its purposes. It is for the purpose of learning to love, even enemies. And even our Psalm 25 states, all the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness. But then there's this qualifier for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, as though there is an utterly expendable group who fall outside God's loving concern. But we see Jesus wash the feet of Judas. I once heard a preacher say that religion without love is the most dangerous thing in the world. And of course, that's true. We've seen that. Speaking of Jesus, he is our primary example of one who prayed through the words of the Psalms. And in sort of a mind-blowing way, we have the people's words spoken to God, and then God himself comes down to earth, and then God himself speaks through the words of the people back to his heavenly Father. It shows us God is listening. He actually cares about our words. He uses them. He makes his prayers with the words that we prayed. Jesus' example heightens our understanding of the gift that the Psalms really are. I remember as a child being given my great aunt's little New Testament, but it had the Psalms too. And it gave them a special status, which they traditionally have had in our worship services. We always pray a psalm. And of course, in our lectionary, our daily office, we always pray a psalm. And some of you may have taken on some added devotional prayer practice for Lent. And at some point, a practice of prayer for most of us, well, it can get a little thin. It seems like we're doing all the talking, and God isn't saying much or anything. We wonder, or I wonder, am I just talking to myself? And then the Psalms are just this profound gift from God to give us words of the saints who have gone before. They allow us to acknowledge and really share our truest, sometimes even basest, feelings, and yet be reminded of God's nature and purposes, and of course, his faithfulness to his loving promises that he's made on our behalf. So after this rather lengthy preamble, I'm finally going to get specifically to Psalm 25, but I'm going to limit myself to just one subtopic, which is divine guidance. The psalmist, and we are told it is David, asks for guidance in verses 3 and 4. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. And there it is, a cry to God for guidance. And we could imagine that King David had a great deal of need for guidance given his very complicated life. But don't we all need guidance? And don't we all have complicated lives? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of guidance, I think of specific recommendations given to me regarding my ever so unique snowflake life. Because you know, no two snowflakes are alike. And that's the kind of guidance I generally look for. And apparently, I'm not alone. People of my generation and younger are almost obsessed with getting personalized guidance. We want it for our diet plans. We want it for our dog training and for our children's college choices. And it has been suggested that this obsession with personalized guidance is a product of our being so steeped in individualism. And perhaps our false 21st century mindset that with curated bespoke information, we control our destiny. But in contrast to this, the kind of guidance David seems to be seeking is a much more generally applicable guidance. He's not asking for God's personalized plan for him. He is asking to be saturated in your ways, O God. He is asking to know your paths. How significant that little possessive pronoun is. David doesn't ask, show me my path. He asks God to show him his path. And this reliance on the already revealed, what I will call command will of God, as being, in fact, the truth from which any specific guidance might be derived, is the more common biblical understanding of divine guidance. Now, I'm not saying that God never gives specific, personalized guidance, private instruction. He absolutely does. You may well have had it in your own life. A billboard, somebody's words, a dream, you knew that was from God. It was special. It was for you. It was for that moment. Thanks be to God. But what I am saying is that the non-personalized, already written history of God's purposes for and commands to his people, the Bible, is the primary source of guidance. And it is an essential cross-check for any other personal guidance that we may receive. You know, some people are convinced that they've heard a word from the Lord, but it's actually asking them to do something that is unloving. And you have to cross-check it and look and say, no, well, I know that sounds like it's from to you, but the people of God would probably, at the Oprah Winfrey show, would say, no, I don't actually think that was a word from the Lord. You better rethink that. And of course, the Bible is not just a quick little pamphlet, 10 secrets and you're done. The Word of God is lengthy. It involves study over a lifetime. It has verses that seem at odds with other verses. And as I already mentioned, it has different genres, different types of writing, which means we have to learn about context and what the author's intent might have been. It requires humility, both because reading such an old text is hard to understand, but also because when we read about God's ways, the goodness and the patience and the generosity and the forgiveness and the deep care and concern that God has for the poor and the neglected and the prisoners, we see how far short we fall. And that is humbling, even discouraging. But there is a remedy in the scripture itself. Because we cannot get far before coming across the truth about God. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness. He teaches sinners in his way. His compassion is from everlasting. Fantastic news for the sinner readers of the Bible. It's made for us in our exact condition. Even in this age when we expect answers immediately, it's worth this slow journey of scriptural saturation. God will speak into your life through its words and stories and prayers. God will shape your character like a tincture that is dropped into a glass and gradually infuses the whole cup. Much of what we want to know regarding important decisions in life is not just about expedience or success. It's wanting to know what the right thing to do is. Wanting to make the decision that is, in St. Paul's turn of phrase, worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. That has everything to do with coming to understand God's ways, God's paths. So if you see guidance, yes, by all means, ask for it straight up from the Holy Spirit, personalized. You may receive it clearly in a dream, through the comment of a friend, or on a billboard. But the most sure, and yes, it is a long-term endeavor, is in constant study of Holy Scripture. I want to just close with this wonderful prayer from Paul. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen.